Hi there, I'm Celeste Headlee. Welcome to Women Amplified from the Conferences for Women. This podcast brings you conversations with some of the most brilliant minds, bringing you invaluable advice and some inspiration that might help you navigate life in both your career and at home. Today's episode is going to be a little different than our normal format, but I promise you will not be disappointed. You're in for a real treat. Our guest is none other than the world's personal financial expert, Susie Orman. She wears a lot of different hats: magazine and online columnist, writer and producer, creator and host of the Women and Money podcast, and she's a number one New York Times bestselling author with over 25 million books in circulation. Earlier this year, her newest book was released. It's called The Ultimate Retirement Guide for 50 Plus. Susie says this is the most important book she's ever written. Now, before we jump in and speak with Susie, she's going to read us an excerpt, which is a great segue for our conversation on creating a financial roadmap for a lasting legacy. Let's get started.
Chapter 9, Protecting Yourself and Those You Love. Now, we are going to switch gears, because the preceding chapters have all the information you need to think through your best financial moves as you near retirement. So now I say enough with the money advice. What I want to discuss with you next is, in my opinion, the most important work you need to tackle before you retire, because it will protect you, your assets, and your family. Yep, we need to have a chat about wills, estates, and all the documents that will enable your loved ones to care for you if you ever become too ill to convey your desires. In many ways, this chapter puts the ultimate in the ultimate retirement guide. Now, I have to tell you, it just makes me a bit nuts that many of you don't already have those documents in place. And out of anything that you can do, I will tell you this. If you were to ask me the question, what is the biggest mistake you can ever make in your financial life? It is not having what I call the must-have documents: a will, a living revocable trust, an advanced directive and durable power of attorney for healthcare, and a financial power of attorney. I spend a lot of time fielding people's questions, whether it's on my Women and Money podcast or at live events. And I am on the receiving end of a whole lot of questions. And yet what amazes me, frankly, is that I am rarely asked about how to protect yourself as you age and how to help your family care for you if and when the time comes that you need assistance managing your finances, your medical care, and the regular day-to-day of life. Why is it that out of all the questions you could ask me, that you are reluctant to ask me how to make sure your wishes will be quickly carried out when you die? I think I know why. It's because you don't want to deal head-on with anything related to getting older. You don't want to imagine yourself sick or incapacitated. Confronting your mortality is not high on your list of priorities. I get that, and I get that these are difficult topics. I understand why we throw up defenses and conjure mental blocks and defer, defer, defer. I'll think about it later, you said to yourself, year after year. And guess what, my friends? If you're listening to this audiobook, if you have woken up to the need to deal with retirement in a proactive way, then it already is later. That time you were deferring to is now. And because you know me as a truth teller, I am going to be very direct with you. You know why you need to take care of this end-of-life stuff now, because to not prepare is a tragic blind spot that will leave you and your loved ones exposed to a lot of heartache and potentially a financial mess. I am asking you to be a warrior and to not turn your back on the battlefield, especially with this topic, and to fight through the discomfort for the benefit of your family, and that includes you. Who will help care for you as you age? Have you given that thought, or have you suppressed it? Either way, I'm sure it's a concern that gnaws at you. That is not an emotional weight you want to carry through your retirement, but I can help alleviate that burden. Have you spelled out your wishes for the level of medical care you want should you become unable to direct your own care? If you haven't, it means you may one day put those decisions in the hands of someone you haven't specifically designated for that critical role. To not assign someone you trust, an adult child or grandchild or friend, the legal right to help you navigate your medical care and manage your finances endangers you in so many ways. I have to tell you, it isn't kind or generous to leave these decisions to your loved ones without providing them with clear, indisputable guidance. When you do nothing, you actually do something very consequential. Your lack of planning guarantees that you and your family may struggle at a time that is already emotionally devastating. Your family may have to scramble to care for you. When you die, it leaves the door wide open to questions about what your wishes might have been and who should get what. You and I both know those questions can lead to damaging arguments. It is so very important that a surviving spouse or life partner not have to make any big financial decisions in the year following the death of a spouse or partner. It takes time to find a new rhythm and clarity as a single person. This is not a time to be making consequential money moves yet. If you have not arranged for a smooth transition, you may force your loved one into needing to focus on finances. Now, I've experienced this firsthand so many times, it's not even funny. How many clients did I have, married couples that loved each other so much? And then the husband or the wife would die, and the surviving spouse would come in and see me, and I would tell them exactly what to do, and we did it. And then about a year later, the surviving spouse would come back and see me, and they would sit down with me. It didn't matter again whether it was a man or a woman. And this happened over and over and over again. And they would come and see me, and they would say, "Susie, can you tell me why we did everything that we did?" And I would explain that to them, and little by little, I realized they were not in their bodies at all. It took them 6 months to 1 year, really, after suffering the loss of a loved one, to even be semi in their bodies. And some people, it takes 2 or 3 years. And thank God I was an honest financial advisor, and I didn't take advantage of them. But that is just one of the reasons why you have to deal with this before the what ifs of life happening. And I just have to say this, it's not if you're going to die, it's when. This is going to happen. It's going to happen to you, going to happen to me, going to happen to KT, it's going to happen to all of us, happen to my mother, it happens. And you have to deal with it now. So with all that on the line, again, I hope you will summon the warrior within. Face down your discomfort and embrace the amazing opportunity you have to create the roadmap that will make it easy as possible for your wishes to be carried out while you are alive and once you pass. Now, taking this step will deliver an immediate payoff. You will replace all the worrying with the calm and confidence that you have a plan in place. You can relax, knowing you have taken the steps that will make it possible for you to get the support you may need at some point immediately. And you will have peace of mind knowing that when you pass, your financial legacy will move seamlessly to your heirs. In my experience, there is not a single person who has not felt immense relief once they got their affairs in order. And really, I want you to experience the very same feeling so you can get on with living. In this chapter, I will walk you through the 4 must-have documents that everyone needs. They are not difficult to understand or hard to create. What may take some work and perhaps a bit of soul searching is deciding who you want to become your advocate along the way if necessary, and how you want to divide your estate. For those of you who are married, there may be some major conversations ahead if you have differing opinions on the subject of inheritance. If you have children, perhaps you need to make a decision about which child you will appoint to take the lead in your care, knowing it may set off some sibling tensions. Avoiding these decisions and conversations does not make them go away. It will only make it worse for those who may need to step in at some point to help care for you. Besides, at this point in your life, you have navigated so much that I think you have everything it takes to figure this out. As we age, we often find ourselves thinking about our legacy. We want to be remembered for our love, our friendship, our generosity, our kindness. Sure, we might want to be remembered for our accomplishments too, but it is the work of our heart, not our head, that matters most. How well you set up your family to navigate your later life will also be a part of your legacy, right? Will your family remember you for the mess you left behind, the arguments your silence unleashed, or will your family be forever grateful for the roadmap you created that gave them the ability to fulfill your wishes without guesswork? These essential documents will provide for and protect everyone. That's a powerful part of your legacy that you can ensure right now.
That was an excerpt from Chapter 9 of Susie's new book, The Ultimate Retirement Guide for 50 Plus. You can buy a copy online from the Women Amplified bookstore. It's within the podcast tab at conferencesforwomen.org. We are so fortunate to be joined by Susie Orman to address this important and really timely topic, getting our affairs in order to protect ourselves, our loved ones, and our legacy. It's something we've been forced to think about a lot sooner than planned, perhaps as we navigate the complexities of this pandemic. So let's hear what Susie has to say. Let me ask you now, why this topic? At a time when there is so much going on in people's lives, why focus on their end-of-life documents?
So what's interesting is that the end-of-life documents are there for when your life ends, but here's the problem. You don't know when that moment is going to be. You do not know when the moment that you're going to become incapacitated, you're going to become ill, you're going to need help. You don't know when that moment is going to be, as I just said a few seconds ago. And think about what's happened over this past year. How many people, young, old, all kinds of ages, found themselves in a hospital setting that their loved ones couldn't even visit them? There was nothing they could do. And so it's really important that you have documents in place today to protect the unknowns of your tomorrows. It's really just that simple.
So your book is The Ultimate Retirement Guide for 50 Plus. What is the right age to start this process?
Truthfully, the right age is to start this process in your 20s. Because when you start this process in your 20s, the sooner you start, the more money you'll have in the end because of compounding. But the problem is today, most people don't start in their 20s or their 30s or their 40s because they're still just getting out of debt, student loan debt. They're trying to buy a home. They're trying to buy a car. And they don't take it seriously because they don't think they're ever going to get older. So really, the time you have to start by is your 50s and up. Because if you don't start then, good luck, you may never get to the end result that you want to attain.
There may be a sense also that they don't have anything to leave, right? And I wonder at this moment, when so many people are unemployed, so many people are struggling financially, they may be putting off these conversations because they feel that there's nothing for them to leave for their inheritors. What would you say to someone who says, nobody's going to inherit anything from me?
I'd say what you need to think about is a man by the name of Bill Summerlin. Okay? And you may say, who's Bill Summerlin?
Yeah.
And Bill Summerlin is a man that for 40 years worked at the Boca Resort Hotel in Boca Raton, Florida, arranging the most incredible floral arrangements you'd ever want to see for everybody. And Bill was found on his floor in his apartment after 3 days of being there by the EMTs, okay? And taken to the hospital. Nobody knew who to contact. Nobody knew what his wishes were. Nobody knew anything about him. And the hospital went into a total frenzy. Somehow they contacted a friend of mine and found out who his sisters were, everything about him that they needed to know to contact people. But here's the end result. In 10 days after that, he died. But now his family members cannot have his utilities disconnected. They cannot stop his rent. They cannot touch any money that he had in his bank account. They can't make any decisions for him whatsoever because they did not have a power of finances or a durable power of attorney for healthcare or any of the things that one needs. So this isn't just about the must-have documents. It's not just about where does everything go after you have died? All right, so you don't have anything. But do you understand that maybe you have a little money in a retirement account? Maybe you have money somewhere that somebody has to make decisions over. And if you don't have documents in place, there's no way they're going to be able to help you in your life and after your death. It's really become the most chaotic mess I have ever seen in almost the 40 years that I've been doing this.
And you say in your book that people never ask you about this. Of all the questions that you get asked, it's never about this. Why do you think that is?
People don't want to deal with the what-ifs of life, especially men. They don't want to think that they're ever going to get older, they're ever going to be incapacitated. Nobody wants to believe that they're the ones that are going to get sick, they're going to end up in a hospital, but they have to think that way. It's so incredibly simple. I can't even tell you, especially since I've created what's called the must-have documents that can be purchased for $69. Are you kidding me? $2,500 of state-of-the-art documents can be purchased via my Women in Money app. But that's besides the point. What's really important is that you take the steps today to protect your tomorrows, because if you don't, you will be making, out of any other financial mistake you could ever make, that will be the biggest mistake you will ever make.
But Susie, this entire process for most people will have to start with the conversation, because your four must-have documents, the will, the living revocable trust, the advance directive, the power of attorney, all of those require you to choose people to do certain things for you. And that means you're going to have to talk to people about this. And I feel like it's that conversation, that very first step, that prevents them from moving forward. How do you get past the fear of that conversation?
The truth of the matter is fear is the main internal obstacle to wealth in every single circumstance, everyone. And so one of the ways that you get rid of fear is through action. It's actually the only way that you can conquer your fear. And so you have to have that conversation, because if you don't, do you understand that the state that you live in will make those decisions for you if you have not made them yourself? So back to Bill Summerlin. He doesn't have a will. He doesn't have a trust. He didn't have designated beneficiaries. So now the state of Florida is going to designate who gets his money. And maybe it's going to go to somebody that he didn't want it to go to. Oh, you're a parent and you have a child and you don't want to have the discussion of who takes care of your minor child if in fact something happens to you. Oh, if you don't have a will where you appoint a guardian, guess what? The courts will appoint a guardian for you. Next, oh, you have a child that is 18 years of age or older, and now they end up in the hospital totally sick, and you think you can make decisions for them. Once a child turns the age of 18, you can no longer have any legal authority over them. So if they don't have an advance directive and a durable power of attorney for healthcare that they in fact give to you, you can't help a child. So fine, you don't want to have those conversations? Are you kidding me? The most important people and assets in your life, aren't they your family members? Aren't they your children? Aren't they the ones that you love? So whether you have money, you don't have money, everything that you do in life will have an effect on those that you love if you don't take care of certain situations. That's why it's not just, oh, you only need a will. You only need a trust. It's you need a will, a trust, an advance directive, and a durable power of attorney for healthcare. You need those four must-have documents because those four must-have documents will take care of you in every possible situation of the unknown.
Let me ask you about the things people forget. I volunteer for animal charities, and one of the staff members at a shelter was saying that people forget to determine who's going to take care of their pets. They end up with a lot of pets. And I wonder what, in your experience, do people forget as they're planning for end of life? What are the details that often get left out?
The details that normally get left out are little things, believe it or not, such as, where do your pets go? Are you going to leave money to take care of your pets? But it's not just your pets. It's all the little things around your home that might be precious to you. Things that seemingly don't mean anything to most people, the little things. Maybe it's the dishes that your mother left you and you want to leave to a niece. Maybe it's a little piece of jewelry that you've had with you forever that you want a special cousin to have. Because if you don't really pay attention to those things, things that you would really want to have happen aren't going to happen. But it's more than just the things. It's, do you want to be resuscitated? Do you not? All kinds of things. Do you want to be cremated? Do you not? Those are the things that you really have to deal with while you can.
You're listening to a conversation with the world's personal finance expert, Susie Orman. We just wrapped up our first virtual conference of the year in Texas, by the way. If you missed it, don't worry because you have two more chances. Tickets are still on sale for the Pennsylvania Conference for Women on November 11th and the Massachusetts Conference for Women on December 10th. Each virtual event is unique, and they all offer a different lineup of brilliant and inspiring women, including Viola Davis and Alicia Keys. You can learn more and register at conferencesforwomen.org. The next time you hear from Women Amplified will be days before Election Day on November 3rd. If these past 7 months have shown us anything, it's that we can do hard things and we can have hope. Voting might look a little different this year, but it's a right and a responsibility we cannot ignore. If you need to find out whether you're registered or get information about early voting or absentee ballots, please go to vote411.org. It is a nonpartisan, one-stop shop produced by the League of Women Voters, and it'll have you feeling like an educated and empowered citizen in no time. It's vote411.org. Trust me, try it out. Now, let's return to the conversation.
So you talk about in the book, choosing your advocate. And I wonder if you'll explain, first of all, what you mean and how one goes about choosing that person.
Yeah. A durable power of attorney for healthcare is who is going to advocate for you or make decisions for you when you cannot. Go back to Bill Summerlin again. He was found on the floor, unresponsive. He was brought to the hospital and put on life support because they didn't know what else to do. There were no instructions. Finally, like I told you previously, family members came and they had to make a decision. Would he be taken off? Would he not? But that wasn't easy because they didn't have a durable power of attorney for healthcare. So after 10 days, he was failing himself. And so what was interesting is that if you had a durable power of attorney for healthcare, you had an advocate, that person has to have the strength to make the decision, yes, take that person off life support. that is not an easy decision. Because there are some people that are out there that'll be, no, no, don't do that. Let's just see. Maybe he or she will come back. So you have to know that that is a person that wants that responsibility, number one. And number two, will carry out your wishes. That if you don't want to be resuscitated, you don't want to spend your life on life support. So it's a really important person in your last wishes documents.
So another thing that you talk about is sort of the emotional weight that occurs when people have to be making decisions for someone else. The burden of just having to think about these things in the moment. And that has to be even heavier right now, right? I mean, people are stressed out, not just financially, but in many different ways. People are perhaps not in their best frame of minds anyway. Is this even at this moment a good time to be making these decisions at this stressful moment?
Listen, when these decisions need to be made, they have to be made. You cannot have the luxury of saying, I'm going to wait till I feel better and everything passes to make a decision when somebody may be in the hospital and that decision needs to be made right here and right now. So it's always a good time. There's never really a bad time because you have to do what you have to do. Do you understand? It's all kinds of things. Remember, it's not just about health. It's also about wealth. Those two entities come into place so closely all the time. And so it's really something you have to do. Listen, I've been doing this now for almost 40 years, and I've been through September 11th. I've been through events where thousands of people have died. And when you don't have these documents, all of them, the pain that you would have gone through in your mind to create them is nothing compared to the pain that you and possibly your loved ones are absolutely going to go through if you don't have them.
You went through this with your mom. It's something that you talk about. And from where I'm sitting, I would imagine, hey, this must have gone perfectly smoothly and easily because for Susie Orman, because she knows exactly how to do this. How did that conversation go?
Yeah. The main problem that I had with my mother in terms of documents was not the trust in all those documents. She did that. But the truth of the matter is, she had absolutely nothing. The main reason that I did those documents for her was to allow me, because in good documents, you have an incapacity clause, that to allow me when my mother could no longer make financial decisions for herself, to access her Social Security, to do little things like that for her, to terminate the place that she was living in when she died. I needed those rights, otherwise I couldn't have done it. The problem was with long-term care insurance. After my father died, he was 71 when he died, back in 1981, I asked my mother to please get a long-term care insurance policy. And she kept saying, I don't need it. I'm never going to need long-term care. And I said, Mom, I'll pay for it for you. It's not a big deal. Seven times I applied, and seven times she refused to sign the documents to get long-term care insurance. All right, my mother now goes from 66, which is how old she was when my dad died, to 76, to 86. So here she is in her late 80s, early 90s, moves to Florida to be in an independent living facility under the conditions that I moved here as well, which I did. And now she's in there, everything's okay. And as she's getting older, she's getting more frail. Before you know it, she needs full-time care. Mm-hmm. Now, thank God Susie Orman was her daughter, because that costs me $20,000 to $30,000 a month, every single month for almost 7.5 years. My aunt and uncle, on the other hand, listen to me, they got a long-term care insurance policy, had the same care that she had, but guess what? It did not cost them that. So that was the problem that I had with my mother. So for those who can afford it, for those where it makes sense, and it is not everybody, everybody needs must-have documents, not everybody can afford long-term care insurance. But I talk about that in great detail in The Ultimate Retirement Guide for 50 Plus. Again, this is a fascinating book and very different advice that I have ever given before in any other book that I've written. And the reason for that is I knew these times were going to be different. I knew that we were going to be facing new financial challenges that we had never faced before. I wrote this book at the end of 2019. I already knew that something was going to happen in 2020. If you listen to my March 1st, 2020 podcast this year in 2020, I do a recap of everything that I said in 2019, the four shows starting in July that I said, beware of February 2020. I said it four times, wow, the last time in December of 2019. So I only say that because this book was written knowing that we were going to have a really rough time starting in 2020. So I give advice in this book that I've never given before. And the conversations and the why you have to downsize sooner than later and all of these things. So out of all the books that I've written, and this now really is my 10th consecutive New York Times bestseller, this may be the most important book I've ever written. And that is because as people tend to get older, nobody targets anything towards them. I'm now 69 years of age, and you only matter to the advertisers and to everybody if you're 25 to 54. Once you've entered your 50s, they don't care about you anymore. Nothing's targeted towards you. And it's very different writing and talking about retirement when you are 69 than when you're 45. Because it's not just about what you do with money. It's about what do you do with the identity of who you are. What do you do with that when you no longer can define yourself by what you have, your job title, all of these things? What do you do with the hours of a day that make your life fulfilled? And so now I'm able to write and talk about this from a perspective of somebody who is 69, who did retire for 2 years before all this craziness started. And it was almost like a demand, you've got to come back, Susie Orman. There's only one Susie Orman. And so that's what makes this book so incredibly important.
My last question for you is that this could be our new normal for a while. I just spoke with a virologist yesterday who said we could be wearing masks for 2 years. I wonder what you see that may be not changing as we go forward. What has changed, do you think, especially financially, that will not go back?
Yeah, I think here's the biggest thing financially is that we still have maybe 20 some odd million people on unemployment. And it's pretty probable that 40% of those people are never going to go back to the job that they had. And I think the most dangerous thing that has happened from this is that major corporations have realized that they can make as much money automating everything or having people work at home that they could when they had all these people coming into these massive offices, all the expenses, all the bills that it takes to run that type of entity. So with that comes, why pay somebody $100,000 a year to sit at home to do a job when probably somebody from a foreign country can do the exact same job equally as well for $40,000 a year? Because it doesn't matter where those people are. The next thing is robotics. Don't think that one day you're not going to drive into a McDonald's or a Wendy's or a Taco Bell. And what you're really going to see is no people on any level. You'll order from your app. You'll pay on your app. You'll drive up to a window. It will be there. Behind the screen will be all these robots automating everything. They don't have to worry about COVID. They don't have to worry about health insurance. They don't have to worry about 401k plans. So don't think that this world, because of this now, with artificial intelligence, robotics, automation, everything, is not going to totally change. So with that said, if you currently have a job, if you're currently making money, interest rates are low, do not make a mistake of, oh, I'm fine. Everything is okay. I'm going to buy a bigger house because interest rates are at 2%. Actually, they're at 2.37%, just to be exact. But don't make those mistakes. This is the time when you do have a job that you should be saving all the money you possibly can. You should make sure that you're totally out of debt. You should absolutely make sure you have an 8-month emergency fund. And again, you should make sure that your documents are in order and everything is going the way that it should. Because the future is going to be very, very different, financially speaking, than we've ever seen before.
Susie Ormond, thank you so much for your time.
You are welcome.
That was Susie Ormond. To hear more from Susie, tune into her podcast, Women and Money, every Sunday and Thursday, or purchase her new book online at the Women Amplified Bookstore. It's within the podcast tab at conferencesforwomen.org. If you love this podcast, share it with others that you know. We could all benefit from a little advice and inspiration right now, right? And please don't forget to vote on November 3rd. Your voice matters. Your vote matters. If you have questions or you need information about voting, be sure to visit vote411.org. It's a nonpartisan one-stop shop produced by the League of Women Voters. The League has been protecting the right to vote for 100 years. The Conferences for Women is the largest network of women's conferences in the nation. They draw more than 45,000 women and men to annual events in Boston, Philadelphia, Austin, and Silicon Valley. You can learn more at conferencesforwomen.org. I'm Celeste Headlee. This is Women Amplified from the Conferences for Women. Thank you so much for listening. Be kind and be well.